Committee of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means for Tuesday, May 10th, 2005, and open a public hearing on SB 5527, the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. This morning, we are going to have a public hearing only. We have about 30 people signed up thus far. We will limit each speaker to 2 minutes. 2 minutes sounds like a short time, but you can actually say quite a bit in 2 minutes. And we will basically go from speaker to speaker. I will call up 2 to 3 people at a time, and then I will let you know who the next 2 to 3 people are on the list. We still have a list available for sign-up. If there are too many people in this room, we're getting close to capacity, I think, right now. We do have overflow seating in Hearing Room D. Again, this is on the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. And the first three parties, we can explain this. This is when you have 30 seconds left. And this is when you have 10 seconds left. So with that, we will get started. We have Adam Petkin, Tony McCown, and Brandy, I think it's Minogue. And then after that, we will have Brad Green, Bridget Bonner, and Kaylee Freeman.
Chair Devlin, members of the Education Subcommittee, my name is Adam Petkin, and I am the Student Body President at the University of Oregon and the Board Chair for the Oregon Student Association, an organization which, of course, represents over 100,000 students at the OUS University institutions, OHSU, and Lane Community College. I come before you today to speak of the importance of funding the Oregon Opportunity Grant at a level that covers all eligible students in Senate Bill 5527. I would like to start today by saying how great it is at the start of the session to see in the governor's recommended budget Oregon Student Assistance Commission being funded to a level that allows for a 111% increase in funding for the Oregon Opportunity Grant. Also, the Access and Affordability Working Group of the State Board of Higher Education has spent a lot of time working on a longer-term strategy towards financial aid in the state. Through the work of the governor, the state board, and OSAC, there is more support for the Oregon Opportunity Grant than we have seen in quite some time. OSAC fills an important role in post-secondary education, or as an access towards it, whether it is mentoring rural students about the financial aid process through Aspire, distributing private scholarships, or through assisting students through the Oregon Opportunity Grant. While all of these programs are very helpful to students, I'm going to speak about the need of funding eligible students who qualify for and are not awarded an Oregon Opportunity Grant. As tuition and fees increase at our colleges and universities, the Oregon Opportunity Grant, which is Oregon's, again, only need-based aid, must step up to the plate and help keep smart, hardworking Oregonians in Oregon and in post-secondary education. Over the last 4 years, we have seen the Oregon Opportunity Grant hydraulics change and try to fund as many low-income Oregonians as possible. For example, the grant used to fund 15% of the total cost of education. Now it only funds 11% of the cost. Basically, I'm going to get to the end of the story right now. It's only funding 70%. And we think right now it's really important to also fund a tuition freeze, but our first priority is to make sure that all eligible students receive an Oregon Opportunity Grant.
Yes, Senator Nelson.
Thank you. Okay, you support the governor's budget. What do you think about the co-chair's House budget and the Senate budget?
We're pleased by both. Right now, we're talking about the virtues of both. It's really important to fund a tuition freeze and the Oregon Opportunity Grant.
Yeah, have you seen the House and Senate? It's different than the governor's budget.
Yes.
Which one do you support, governor's budget or
Our first priority is to see that all eligible students receive the Oregon Opportunity
Grant.
That's
the governor's budget?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get to. Which budget, governor's budget, House or Senate budget?
And I think what we'd like to see is there's an additional support in the co-chair's budgets beyond what's in the governor's budget for both. And so we'd like to first see the Oregon Opportunity Grant funded for all eligible students. And then beyond that, we'd like to see the extra money go towards mitigating tuition increases.
Thank you. Yes, please proceed.
Good morning, Chair Devlin and other members of the committee. My name is Tony McCown. I'm the student body president at Lane Community College, as well as the Oregon Student Association vice chair. I'm here as a student representative, but also on behalf of myself, a recipient of the Oregon Opportunity Grant, to urge you to continue support for this grant. As a community college student, I know that about 50% of the recipients of the grant come from the community college, but also 50% of those who are eligible that did not receive the grant also come from the community college. And to me, this is discouraging. At the community college level, with our open enrollment policies, students can register at a later date when classes become available and when their schedules open up. If they're not able to receive this grant, they're not able to continue their education. As Adam mentioned earlier, you know, when, in 1971, when this grant was started, it funded, it was intended to cover 100% of costs. Now, at only 11% of costs, if you're a math or science major, the $1,500 a year hardly covers your books in some cases. This is unacceptable. I'm really encouraged with both the House and Senate's budget, and I'd like to see continued support at the levels that you've mentioned. In a recent national report, Oregon received an F in affordability. This is a way for Oregon to come up in the ranks as we keep Oregon students in-state and encourage them to go to Oregon schools. Again, I'd like to encourage you to maintain your level of support, and thank you for the level of support that you've shown already. Thank you.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Senator Devlin, members of the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Education. My name is Brandy Minogue. I'm currently working toward my second year at Lane Community College and working toward my goal of becoming a professional lobbyist. I'm currently one of nearly 10,000 students, community college students, that received the Oregon Opportunity Grant. And unfortunately, almost the same number of my community college peers that qualify for the grant do not receive it due to inadequate state funding. And I'm here to ask you today to increase the funding for the Oregon Opportunity Grant to guarantee that there is adequate funding for all eligible Oregonians to receive this extremely important access to higher education. I graduated from Oak Ridge High School in 1998, and I briefly attended a traditional four-year university. After 5 years off, I enrolled in Lane Community College to continue my post-secondary education. In my first year at Lane Community College, I attended classes only part-time. And this year, thanks to the Oregon Opportunity Grant, I've been able to attend classes full-time. And without the grant, I would still be taking classes part-time. It would take many years to complete just the Associate of Arts Oregon Transfer degree. For many students like me, the Oregon Opportunity Grant is the difference in access to higher education. While I wish the grant covered more of the cost of my education, like it did for students when it was created in the 70s, it is the reason I am a full-time student and the only reason. I'm extremely grateful for it. And today, the grant covers approximately 10% of the cost of education. While tuition rates at community colleges in Oregon have risen at record rates over the past 5 years and are the highest of all Western states, the amount of the Oregon Opportunity Grant community college students receive has remained the same, approximately $1,200. I've had to take out loans to pay for the remaining cost of my education. Currently, I own close to $10,000 in loans for my 2 years at Lane Community College. As our state continues to grow out of its recent economic recession, more and more Oregonians are demanding the training and education to be competitive in today's economy. My situation is not unique. It's similar to that of many of my classmates, and the expansion of the Oregon Opportunity Grant to fund all eligible students will provide the necessary linkage between Oregon's economy today and Oregon's economy tomorrow. Thank you for your consideration this morning, and again, I ask you to please fully fund the Oregon Opportunity Grant program.
Thank you very much.
One more question here. I mean, I'm just looking at the governor that this recommended budget. The governor has you at 21.8, or actually 48.7 for Student Assistance Commission. The Senate has you at 24.6, and the House has you at 21.2. Which one do you like?
We like the House and Senate because we would like to see the remaining money that the governor put out at 48 to go to mitigating tuition freezes.
The 20-ish
numbers funds all current all eligibles, where the governor's budget goes beyond that. We would hope, and the Senate has made it a priority to try to freeze tuition, and so we would hope that with the combination of funding all eligibles and then the additional money to try to mitigate those tuition freezes.
Okay. Thank you.
Our tuition increases.
Thank you very much.
Brad Green, Bridget Bonner, and Kaylee Freeman. And then up off after that will be Austin Laver, Aaron Devaney, and Mary Fletcher. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, Chair Devlin and committee members. I have prepared a written statement, but I'm not going to read that. You'll get that, I imagine. I wanted to tell you a story. I'm a 38-year...
Can you identify yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Bradley Wilson Green, and I'm a student at Oregon State University. I am also an undergraduate senator there, and will be graduating this September. I just wanted to relate to you a story about being a non-traditional student, and the Oregon Opportunity Grant factors very heavily into that. When I graduated high school in 1984, the cost of tuition was at Oregon State was roughly $470 per term. That amount is now in the neighborhood of $1,773 per term. At the time of graduation from high school, I decided that I wasn't ready to go to college, and I figured that college would always be there for me. As it turns out, I might have been mistaken in that assumption that college would have always been there for me. College has become very, very expensive, and securing the funding to make the decision to go back to college was difficult. And the Oregon Opportunity Grant gave me the opportunity to alleviate any fears I might be having about going to college. I currently, by the time I graduate from college, I will have in the neighborhood of $18,000 worth of federal loans. The Oregon Opportunity Grant enabled me to keep that under $20,000, which it otherwise would have been in excess of. So I'm just here to advocate fully funding the Oregon Opportunity Grant for all eligible students. It made the difference for me, and I certainly have to imagine that it will make the difference for other students as well, both non-traditional and otherwise. Thank you for your time.
Please proceed.
Good morning, Chair Devlin and other members of the board. I'm a little nervous. This feels strange. I also am a return to school at age of 32. I have been receiving the Oregon Opportunity Grant, which has been very helpful in my education.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes.
Can you identify?
I'm sorry. Yes, my name is Bridget Bonner, and I am a senior at horticulture. I'm a senior in the horticulture department at OSU, and I returned to school at 32 years of age, and the Oregon Opportunity Grant has been very helpful in allowing me to reduce the final debt, which I will carry when I leave school. It has reduced my final debt by approximately, it will help to reduce my final debt by 30%. This makes a very large difference for many people in being able to continue their education or perhaps leaving school prematurely. And I, because I received the grant, I realize what a difference it makes, and I hope that other students will be able to receive the same benefits that I have received. I also am a strong supporter of the education process, and there's three reasons that I believe education is so important. One is that education produces the problem solvers of the future. Education is having a strong public education is imperative in our democratic process. Without a strong, well-educated public, we do not have a strong democratic process. And finally, because the founders of this country planned that the public would be highly educated, and that funding this continuing to fund education will be a part of continuing the original vision of this country. I thank you for your time and your consideration of this request. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Kaylee Freeman, and I'm a junior, nearly senior, at the University of Oregon. I'm a recipient of the Oregon Opportunity Grant, and I'm here today to urge you to give more money to fund more students with the Oregon Opportunity Grant. The Oregon Opportunity Grant is why I'm in school. Without it, I would be unable to attend because of the cost of tuition. This, combined with the Pell Grant, a private scholarship from New York, and work study, are what allow me to attend the U of O. And there are over 70,000 other Oregonians who rely on the Opportunity Grant to assist them in obtaining an education. I grew up in Ashland. When I was 16, I chose to take my GED instead of completing high school. I wanted to attend a university. My parents own their own business and make less than $20,000 a year, with which they support my brother and I. They have done what they can to assist me financially. However, the ever-increasing cost has made it challenging. The first year, while I was able to receive the Oregon Opportunity Grant and the Pell Grant, I was ineligible for any campus-based scholarships because I had taken my GED. Fortunately, I had money saved since I was in first grade that helped me supplement my education fees. But without the Oregon Opportunity Grant, I wouldn't have been able to do that. This past fall, I was in a car accident that was not my fault, and because of that injury I sustained and the accompanying pain, I was unable to attend my winter term classes. This made me ineligible for winter financial aid. Because I was not in school and could not attend, receive my financial aid or my scholarship, I have to rely more on financial aid to pay for my education. I also have to work a full-time work study and take a job outside of school to continue paying for my education, but without the Oregon Opportunity Grant, I would have to take off time from school before I could complete my education.
Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Next up is Austin Laver, Aaron Devaney, and Mary Fletcher. And after that will be David Mesereau, Jesse Lorkey, and Mark McKenzie. Again, this group should be Austin Laver, Aaron Devaney, and Mary Fletcher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and esteemed committee members. My name is Aaron Devaney, and I am the student body president-elect of Portland State University. I'm here today to discuss the Oregon Opportunity Grant and access to higher education, but first I'd like to make some points of clarification. There has been some confusion regarding OSA's position on the Oregon Opportunity Grant. Currently, OSA is working towards funding all eligible Oregon Opportunity Grant applicants in addition to the co-chair's budget. This would take an additional $12.4 million over both of the co-chair's budgets. So with that point of clarification, because I know there was several questions surrounding that. So students today are being asked to bear more of a financial burden to attain a degree than ever before. The cost of education continues to rise, and tough decisions have to be made. What I also see are students consistently being asked to pick up the slack and being priced out of an education. I am a first-generation college student from a low-income family. Without grants, I would not have been able to be the first for my family to attend an Oregon university. I'm a student who could potentially benefit from the Oregon Opportunity Grant, but do not receive it because there is a budget shortfall. I have been allowed to take on student leadership through the federal Pell Grant. Although the Pell Grant has assisted me greatly with my college education, I still struggle to meet my basic needs. Receiving the Oregon Opportunity Grant would not only allow me to pursue my education, but to receive all benefits of going to an urban university. With the cost of living continually on the rise, it is important that Oregon continues to make a solid investment in higher education. This committee can help ensure that all Oregonians can pursue a college degree is by continuing to grow the Oregon Opportunity Grant. Any student who meets eligibility requirements should be able to receive this grant. As it stands now, as it has been stated before, that only 70% of eligible students are actually getting this grant. Please fund all eligible grant recipients and continue to support a tuition freeze. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Chair Devlin and esteemed committee members, my name is Mary Fletcher, and I'm a junior at Portland State University and also a student senator there. I'm excited to be here today and to have the opportunity to speak to you about my experiences with the Oregon Student Assistance Commission and the importance of the Oregon Opportunity Grant. As a student senator, I've seen students struggle with many issues. However, there is one struggle that is common to all students that I encounter, and that is financing their education. Students today are being asked to bear more of a financial burden to attain a degree than ever before. The cost of education continues to rise, and more students are being priced out of that education. One of the best things about Portland State University is the diverse student body. However, as costs rise and aid falls, access to higher education in Oregon begins to vanish. As a low-income and a first-generation student, I am eligible to receive the Oregon Opportunity Grant, but because of funding problems with the program, I currently receive nothing. As it stands now, I am one of the 30% of eligible students who do not receive the grant. This committee has a great opportunity before you to increase access to higher education in Oregon and to stop making students pay more for less. Please fund all eligible grant recipients and continue to support a tuition freeze. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Could I ask Ms. Devaney to repeat the statement you made? Senator Nelson was out of the room when you made about the $12 million statement.
Definitely. Okay, so I was just making a point of clarification about the Oregon Student Association's board stance on the co-chair's budget. And currently, because there is some confusion around that, we support the full funding for and making sure that all eligible students for that grant receive that grant, which would require $12.4 million more funding than both of the co-chair's budgets. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
David Mesereau, Jess Lorkey, and Mark McKenzie. And then on deck will be Pat Gaylor, Shelley, looks like Reitman, and a second call for Austin Laver.
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is David Mesereau. I live in Portland, Oregon. I'm here this morning as a coordinator of Aspire Volunteers for the Portland Knight High School program and as the director of the Mesereau Family Scholarship. I want to switch your attention from the opportunity grant to a program that the Oregon Student Assistance Commission provides for. It's the Aspire program. I taught for 36 years in the Portland Public Schools. I retired in 1998. Those 36 years accounts in some part for my size. For the 20 years I taught there and directed the Portland Knight High School, I worked with a number of students who experienced a great deal of difficulty in the mainstream systems. While I was a member of the Oregon Student Assistance Commission for two terms, I played a very small part in the creation of the Aspire program. I've been a site supervisor for the Aspire program. I've been a volunteer coordinator after I retired for the Aspire program. I serve on the Aspire's program's state advisory board. I've lived with it since its beginning and currently work in the program. I've sent you a number of correspondence regarding House Bill 2935, which deals with the Aspire program, its growth and development, and its prospective future. And that's what I'd like to turn my attention to in the amount of time that I have left. This is a very important delivery vehicle. The Aspire program really brings information to students who might not otherwise have the opportunity to go on with their education. This is a leading element in providing access to post-secondary education. I'd encourage you to think about establishing this as a permanent program in the state of Oregon. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, I am Jesse Lorkey, a recipient of the Oregon Opportunity Grant and a member of the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. As a tuition-paying student, I hope for prioritization of the grant over a tuition freeze. The governor's budget places a high value on the grant because it is effective. Recipients that get to school, they get their degrees, and they get out. It's proven. The governor's budget will fund every qualifying student. Citizens will be able to start college any time of the year. As it stands, only from January to August can they decide for the next school year to attend and still get the grant. I decided to start school after 6 years in the Navy Submarine Service. For those of us not coming straight out of high school, year-round funding is of critical importance because military enlistments, mill closures, and layoffs don't happen on school calendars. Please put targeted funding of the Oregon Opportunity Grant over a mandated tuition freeze that has thinned out over so many students. Thank you for the opportunity to speak and for having this public hearing.
Please proceed. Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Mark McKechnie. I'm from the Juvenile Rights Project in Portland. We represent children in foster care. I'm here to talk about the former foster child scholarship that was established in 2001 and has been housed in the Oregon Student Assistance Commission, despite the fact that it received no appropriation for this most recent biennium. I'm here to urge you to reappropriate state funds to the scholarship fund for the upcoming biennium in the amount of $100,000. Given the limited time, I won't go into the legislative history in too much detail, but briefly, House Bill 2431 in the year 2001 established the former foster child scholarship for children and youth who spend at least 12 months in Oregon foster care between the ages of 16 and 21. The committee that heard that bill that year very quickly and unanimously passed the bill out of committee after hearing from current and former foster youth who were either struggling currently to put themselves through college or who had dreams of going to college but had a hard time seeing how that would be possible for them. The Oregon Student Association that year also advocated for the bill as a way to improve access to higher education for Oregon's neediest youth. I've submitted in my written testimony findings about the welfare and well-being of young adults in the Pacific Northwest who have graduated from our foster care systems in Oregon and Washington, and the findings are very troubling. In brief, only 1.8% of former foster children completed a bachelor's degree by the age of 25. They face risks for not matriculating to higher ed or not graduating, including delayed enrollment, living without family support, working part-time, or enrolling part-time and working full-time to support themselves through school. Grants and scholarships, however, offer great opportunity for low-income students in particular, as you've heard, decreasing the chance of dropout in the first year by 23% for receiving an additional $1,000 in aid. And I can stop there. I'd be happy to answer any questions since I'm talking about a much different topic than most of the witnesses this morning.
Yes, Senator. No.
Jesse, you support the opportunity grants over the tuition freeze. Why was that again?
The governor's recommended budget over the tuition freeze. With the amount in the governor's recommended budget, a part-time program is able to get started, a program for part-time students. The priority to me, and not speaking for the commission, would be 100% of all eligibles getting the grant first and the year-round funding. But I think that part-time program is of vital importance for all of the part-time students that are ending up in the system.
Okay. Thank you very much. Next up is Pat Gaylord and Shelley Reitman, and a final call for Austin Laver. And up after that will be Brian Haley, Melanie Dixon, and Chuck Clemens. Please proceed.
Good morning, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Pat Gaylord. I'm a registered land surveyor in the state of Oregon and a small business owner in the Portland area. I'm also the chair-elect for the Professional Land Surveyors of Oregon and past scholarship chair of that organization from the last 8 years. My first experience with OSAC was as a student in the late 80s and early 90s, and my interest today is in regards to the scholarship program offered by OSAC. They offer a scholarship application process that provides a single focus point where you can apply for multiple scholarships to fund your college education. That's a great benefit to the students of Oregon. My next experience with OSAC came as the scholarship chair for the Professional Land Surveyors of Oregon in the mid-1990s. The Scholarship Commission allows a volunteer organization such as ours to provide a scholarship fund with limited means, but we have a growing fund that's offering more and more scholarships to land surveying students in the state of Oregon. OSAC's partnership with the Oregon Community Foundation has allowed our organization to benefit from professional account managers of our fund at a lower cost, providing better returns and more scholarships for students in the state. OSAC's management of the application process and distribution of funds allows us to interact with multiple colleges through one point of focus. When we desired to make revisions to our program, the OSAC guided us through that process to keep our fund in compliance with the law and to make it a successful change in our program to offer more scholarships. As our board composition changes due to a volunteer organization, they provide us the opportunity of education and providing us a better, stronger, more informed board to provide scholarships to land surveying students in the state of Oregon who are target audience. I appreciate the opportunity to testify today and would welcome any questions you may have.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Shelly Reitman, and I am a junior at Pacific University, and I'm a recipient of the Oregon Opportunity Grant and have been for the last 3 years. And 3 years ago, when it came time to search for college, I looked at a variety of options, both public and private. I love the atmosphere of the private schools, the small class sizes, and direct contact with professors. And I really wanted to be part of this closely knit community. But the price tags of the private schools are often too large for me, and so I wasn't sure if it was going to be possible for me to attend. But upon learning that I received the Oregon Opportunity Grant, I was able to attend a private school, and I've loved it and had a very successful career there. And the Oregon Opportunity Grant has helped me keep my loans down, and so that I will hopefully be able to attend graduate school in the future. I'm looking into physical therapy school, and the fact that I've received this funding and this scholarship, I made this a good option for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Brian Haley, Melanie Dixon, Chuck Clemens, and then on deck will be Brian Rensicka, former Senator Cliff Trow, and Brian Clem. Please proceed.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, I'm Chuck Clemens. I'm a board member at Clackamas Community College, and I'm also currently the president of the Oregon Community College Association. And we're here today to lend our very strong support to the Oregon Opportunity Grant Program, which is the only state-supported need-based grant program in the state. Over 10,000 Oregon Community College students receive financial assistance through the Opportunity Grant Program. They would not have receive support without this assistance to help them participate in the state's growing knowledge-based economy. But we'd like to particularly underscore today the importance of the step that you are taking to fund part-time students. Earlier, you had data presented to you that showed loss of enrollment at Oregon's community colleges. And a good share of that loss of enrollment was due to the loss of part-time students. The 2005-2000 biennium may be the first biennium in the history of the Oregon Opportunity Grant Program that eligible part-time students would receive financial aid from the state. The commission has had statutory authority for funding part-time students, but the lack of funding over the years has led the commission to prioritize funding for full-time students only. So at a time when the demand for job training and education are peaking as Oregon's unemployment rate continues to remain high, and Oregonians seek avenues that would allow them to return to the workforce, the Oregon Opportunity Grant Program is even more critical to the economic recovery of Oregon. So the Oregon Community College Association asks that you make an investment in the future of thousands of Oregonians and the future of Oregon by funding the Oregon Opportunity Grant.
Thank you.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, thank you for hearing me today. My name is Melanie Dixon. I'm a community college student at Portland Community College. And I'm here today out of gratitude and also necessity. Gratitude is because I am a recipient of the Oregon Opportunity Grant, and it's made it possible for me to continue to my education, and I'll be at Portland State this summer term. The necessity is that I started community college as a part-time student and was forced to quit my job and go as a full-time student in order to reap the resources that I needed to continue school. So as a result of that, the other sectors in our service area are being stretched out because I'm relying on the state to help me pay my bills and also to pay for this funding. So I guess the reason that I'm here today is to say, as a full-time student, I definitely appreciate the Oregon Opportunity Grant, and I'm sure the 10,000 other people that are receiving it do as well, and their families. But as a student that was a part-time student and potentially could be a part-time student again, I think that it's necessary for those students who are receiving a lot of the brunt of the increases that they also receive the benefit of the opportunity grant if they are eligible. Those students come in, they pay the increases in prices, and they're there less hours than we are. And we get the resources from the campus, and they don't. So I feel like they're getting the short end of the stick as part-time students, and they need to receive this grant in order to continue their education as well as myself. So thank you for hearing me today, and I hope that you support those part-time students that need this money to continue their education. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Good morning, Chair Devlin, members of the committee. My name is Brian Haley, and this Sunday I'll be graduating from Miami University across the street. And I'm here to tell you today that as a recipient of the Oregon Opportunity Grant, that I wholeheartedly support the governor's budget for the grant. Through most of my childhood, and even today, my family lives below the poverty line, and there is really no way for them to help me fund my education anyway. And when my father left when I was 8, my mom struggled to provide enough money for the family, her 2 kids, pay the bills. And for me, attending college was just pretty much a dream that I didn't think I'd be able to realize. However, in high school, I learned of the opportunity grants and other financial aid packages and programs, and I decided that I was going to go ahead and apply for college and universities, even though I wasn't sure how I was going to pay for them. I applied to University of Oregon and Willamette, and while both institutions accepted me, Willamette gave me a significantly higher financial aid package, which is probably because the tuition is a little bit higher than U of O. But attending Willamette has been one of the best experiences of my life. I've been able to meet new people and go places that my family couldn't have possibly provided me with. And even at Willamette, I've also met my fiance, who I'll be marrying next month. So it's changed my life a little bit. I consider myself very fortunate, as I face graduation here next week, to have had the opportunity to go to Willamette and even receive this grant. Over the past 4 years, I've paid for my education through many state and federal grants, loans, private and institutional scholarships, and a small amount that I've had to pay for from summer jobs. Despite this fact, I'm facing about $22,000 in student loans to pay back, and so I'm here today to, I guess, voice my support for the governor's budget.
Question? Yes, Senator Nelson.
From a community college standpoint, do you support the opportunity grants over the tuition freeze, or is it a combination, or how do you view that?
Chair Devlin, Senator Nelson, we look at this as part of a bigger picture of access, And access does include public support for tuition through the Opportunity Grant, but it also includes our ability as an independent board of being able to provide the programs and also to have the facilities. So we're looking at the Opportunity Grant, at our operating funds, and also at our capital for the construction of facilities for students to attend. So we realize you're wrestling with that balance as well. And so I guess I've given you almost a non-answer, but the answer really is we need all three.
Just to follow up, I mean, you have a lot of part-time students coming to college. They're better off with the Opportunity Grant. Would that be a fair statement?
Chair Devlin and Senator Nielsen, yes, that's true. We think the priority for part-time students is a very high priority. We definitely support and appreciate your consideration of that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Clemens, I might state for the record that one of the things that if you watch these numbers go up and down in various co-chairs' budgets and governor's amended budgets or revised budgets, there is a hydraulic between the level of funding for community colleges, the level of funding for opportunity grants, and the potential of lowering or freezing tuition in higher ed. I don't think there's any scenario under which we can meet people's ideals in all three. It will be some combination, and probably it might be like the best of compromises where everybody goes away not terribly disappointed, but they probably won't go away thinking they got everything that they wanted.
thank you. We realize the dilemma that presents for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Brian Runcicka, Senator Cliff Coe, and Brian Clem. I might check to see if I have another sheet. And then up after that will be Laura Monroe, Randy Choi, and Dan Preston.
Ready to go first?
Please proceed.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, thank you for giving us the opportunity to come and speak with you today. My name is Brian Ruzicka. I'm a former student at PCC. And I wanted to emphasize the importance of part-time students getting full funding. And the reason for that being, I can tell you my brief history was I started back after 9 years out of high school and really found a place at PCC and jumped in and got involved with student government and so forth. So I've seen firsthand the importance of this grant and how much it's impacted the lives of many of the students that I've been in contact with. And as a part-time / full-time student, I've been eligible for the grant at times, but have never received it. Other times I've been part-time, so I wasn't able to receive it. At times I was full-time, and I still didn't receive it. I think the access, as the gentleman mentioned before, is really an important piece. And if you provide this grant, even though it's not a huge grant, it provides that basic access for people who might not otherwise be able to engage initially into the system. So once they get that grant, I believe that they will. It's easier for you to find the resources once you've kind of become engaged in the system. If you never get engaged in the system, obviously you're never going to be able to find those resources. One other thing I guess I should touch on, just like I said, I recently graduated from PCC. I chose Washington School to go to. I deferred for a year. I'll be going to Whitman College in August. And what that came down to was financial aid. And the package was better at Whitman. So I would have liked to stay in Oregon. I plan on coming back, but you never know what resources and networking you're going to achieve when you go to a new school. So I hope to come back, but I'd just like to emphasize the importance of the grant, and I appreciate any funding that you can provide. And again, I'd like to emphasize the importance for part-time students. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Brian Clem. I'm the chair of the Oregon Student Assistance Commission, and you're going to be seeing more of me tomorrow. So all I wanted to do was introduce someone who may need no introduction for some of you, former Senator Cliff Trow. And I asked Cliff, along with the governor's office, asking Cliff last summer to chair a committee that comprised 40 or 50 folks looking at OSAC as an agency and getting us out of the loan program, which he managed to help us do successfully. And I wanted to let him talk about the other part of the work group.
Welcome, Senator Trump.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Former colleagues and new members of the committee, it's a pleasure to speak to you. I'm Cliff Trow, former senator from Benton and Polk counties, although the district was changed to be Benton and Linn County right at the last year that I was serving. I served on the Ways and Means Committee for a while, so I commiserate with you as you face these very important decisions. My wife and I chaired this futures group that looked at the at OSAC last summer, and we met primarily to consider the loan program and you know the story about the loan program, but we also looked at the agency. And I want to read you just one part of the report that we provided after five or six sessions. And this part says, the work group asserts that OSAC provides a vital service that is uniquely focused on serving students. There's consensus within the work group that additional funding should be directed toward expanding the Oregon Opportunity Grant Program, Aspire, and scholarship services so as to increase access for growing numbers of students in need. And that's so true in the state. We have growing a large number of students who are in need. I'm also serving on the Hunger Relief Task Force along with some legislators as well as others who are concerned about hunger. The task force prepared a recommendation of 40 different points that would reduce hunger in the state, perhaps eliminate hunger if we could do all of those things. And I know you're addressing some of those proposals in this session. And I want to mention that I chaired an action group for the task force, and we looked at education. And we looked especially at the Oregon Opportunity Grant. We also looked at the Aspire program. And we were very enthusiastic about both of those programs. So especially the Opportunity Grant was our highest priority because we believe that education is the way out of poverty, is the way out of being hungry. And so it's so important that the Opportunity Grant be made available to every student that qualifies for it. And that was our recommendation. We commend OSAC for championing that program and others that are really vital to help the needs of the people in Oregon who want a way out of poverty.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you all. We have another sign-up sheet that's out there that still has about six more places that people could sign up. So if you want to speak during this hearing, please, and you haven't signed up, please sign up on that sheet. Next up is Lori Monroe, Randy Choi, and Dan Preston. And then after them will be Mariana Guduro and Kevin Grant.
Hi, my name is Laura Monroe, and I am the Aspire team leader at Sheridan High School. And I started 8 years ago volunteering at the high school. My oldest child was starting high school, and it was really important for me to figure out how to help him be ready for college if that's what he chose to do. And it was a difficult year. That was 1997-98 volunteering. I had a couple moms helping me, and the school didn't really know what to do with us. Fortunately, we were able to apply to become an Aspire school, and that made all the difference. Aspire provides training for volunteers, and that's something that the staff at the high school doesn't have time to do. the Aspire program gives us information. They give us sample letters, sample press releases. They help us figure out how to find the volunteers we need. And everything Aspire does can be adapted to fit our community. And in our community, any kid who goes to college is almost always a first-generation college student. So we're talking about, it isn't that parents don't care about education or they don't care about their kids or they don't want their children to do well, but they have no idea what needs to happen. It's very different, I think, from what I hear in the press. Our kids aren't pressured to do well on SAT tests, for example. They usually don't even know what they are. So it's really different. I can't tell you what a big difference the Aspire program has made in our small town. And I know because I talk to people, other moms usually, in nearby small towns like Willamina and Amity, who ask me for help, that those towns are the same in many ways and that this Aspire program is a great way to reach kids. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Chairman, excuse me, Chairman Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Randy Choi, and I'm the program officer for education and special funds at the Oregon Community Foundation. And I apologize for a little itchy throat, so bear with me, please. On behalf of the foundation, I would like to take this opportunity to express our strong support for the continued independence of the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. As a freestanding independent organization, OSAC has played a critical role in the administration of our private scholarship program for more than 20 years, connecting the philanthropy of our many donors with thousands of students seeking access to post-secondary education. This unique private-public partnership has been recognized as a model, as a national model for collaboration in providing scholarship opportunities for Oregonian students while building a permanent endowment that benefits current and future generations. For example, for the 2004-2005 school year, OSAC distributed approximately $1.6 million in private awards from about 207 separate OCF scholarship funds. And I will hand out later a chart showing the growth of our funds after I speak. In an environment of reduced government budgets, OSAC continues to provide Oregonians with the following benefits. One, a centralized application process that handles more than 10,000 applications every year. Two, the ability to connect urban, suburban, and rural students with hundreds of privately funded scholarship opportunities and strong relationships with all the high schools and post-secondary education financial aid offices in the state. And they also do a wonderful job in managing the Aspire program, which we helped start 7 years ago, which will be available in 71 schools next year. Providing access to post-secondary education is one of the most important priorities of the Oregon Community Foundation, and we have built a solid, successful scholarship program with an endowment of $40 million just in scholarship funds itself. And we believe maintaining an independent, well-managed, and financially stable OSAC is in the best interest of our state and the thousands of students seeking access to higher education. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Devlin, members of the committee. My name is Dan Preston, and I'm the Dean of Enrollment Management and Director of Financial Aid at Linfield College, which is located in McMinnville, Portland, and seven other sites around the state with our adult degree programs. Low-income access is important to the independent institutions in this state. We want to serve these students, and we have the capacity to serve more. The state, regardless of the type of institution, whether public or private, does have the ability to serve its academically qualified but low-income students more fully. The Oregon Opportunity Grant is critical to enrollment and graduation of low-income citizens in this state. Year-round funding and eligibility for part-time students are aspects of the governor's budget that I think are particularly critical. I think nothing should be more disappointing than to have us sit here and have a student in this chair who's a low-income, high-ability Oregonian leave the state because of money. I truly believe that's a disappointment, and it's a possibility that he will never return. Private colleges look forward to a better and deeper partnership with the state in attending to this low-income agenda.
We're excited about the new and long overdue level of interest in low-income students as reflected in the governor's budget. It's a first step in what we believe will have to be a major multi-biennial buildup of state funds for low-income students. Even though private colleges will not benefit as much from the part-time and the year-round funding as the public schools and the community colleges, we are unanimous in our support of how critical the governor's budget is in supporting low-income students. We all agree that it's important to put aside our sector differences and support the program and fully fund the governor's budget. Linfield College distributes more Oregon Opportunity Grant money than any other private school in the state. Nearly half of our students are from single-family households, and the average income is less than $30,000. They leave our school, they teach, they are nurses, they work, they develop their own businesses, and they work in businesses across the state. And we encourage you to fully support the governor's budget.
Thank you. Mr. Choi, you highlighted one issue in your testimony that I'd like to get on the record even, well, more clearly. Why is it so important for individual donors to scholarship programs to be able to have the funds go through an independent agency versus one that is tied to a particular educational institution?
Chairman Devlin, members of the committee, that's a very good question. We feel it's in the best interest of providing greater access to more students when the administration of the scholarship program is in a neutral body, an independent body, so it's not tied to any particular sector in the post-secondary education field, whether it's OUS, the private college, or community colleges. Our donors feel that students should have the ability to go really anywhere and not feel any kind of pressure or steering, if you will, to any particular sector, because a lot of our donors allow for the recipients of their scholarship funds to go to a VOTech program or a four-year or private school. They want to have the most flexibility as possible.
Thank you. Any additional? Thank you very much.
Welcome. Thank you.
Next up will be Narayana Guduru and Kevin Grant. And then after that will be Joe Johnson, Nick Freeberg, and Mike Lemke.
Good morning, Chair Devlin and members of the Subcommittee on Education. My name is Narayana Guduru. I'm an undergraduate at Oregon State pursuing a degree in pre-med. I am here to ask you to fully fund the Oregon Opportunity Grant so that all eligible students may receive the grant. I am one of the 70% of the eligible students that actually received this grant. Unless the opportunity grant is fully funded, I will not receive the grant next year because I filed the FAFSA late, which usually always comes when we have our midterms. Even with the Pell Grant and the opportunity grant, I still work 30 hours a day, a week, to pay my fees, and on top of that, I have to take out loans. I plan to graduate in 4 years, and by then I expect to have a debt load over $30,000. My parents, on the other hand, both work jobs from 10 to 10 to get through their monthly bills, so I can't rely on their help. Education is a very important part of my life because I'm from the first generation going to college. Attending a university is a privilege that I have earned but may not be able to keep it if I don't receive the grant. All I can say is that I'm only one of the many students that are in this kind of situation, and we're all hoping that the Oregon Opportunity Grant gets the financing that is necessary for the eligible students to get their funding. Going to college is more than a dream come true for me. It's a miracle, and I hope this miracle works again next year and years to come. With this, all I can say is that I'm counting on your help to assure that I can afford college next year. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Kevin Grant. I'm a student at Oregon State University. I'll be graduating after 5 years next month. And I'm also a representative of the student government there and also a board member of the Oregon Student Association. I have never personally received the opportunity grant. However, I know I was eligible for it last year because it showed up on my financial aid statement but was canceled I didn't cancel it. Someone canceled it because I was one of the 30% of students who filed their FAFSA form too late. Of course, I waited till September. Most people don't procrastinate as much as that. But still, I was eligible and I should have received it. This grant was much needed, and it could have offset some of the $30 to $35 per week I worked last year. This year alone, I work with the student government, but still on top of that, I still have to work a part-time job on the weekends to make up for the fact that the tuition has increased at Oregon State University 53% since I started in school in fall 2000, as well as other cost of living expenses. I will also be graduating next month with a $24,000 debt load. This is money that will be slowly being given back to the federal government over several decades rather than staying in Oregon's economy. It is too late for you to help me. I understand this. I've managed to survive, but I'm here to advocate for people such as my friend here, Nari, and others who need this grant to survive and make it. I just want to say that Oregon is creating a high tuition, high aid model. And while we've kept up the high tuition part, I'll give you that, but the aid has never followed, and is pricing thousands of students out of an education. And I think this is very important for the financial and economic and also social well-being of the state. Yesterday I received a fortune in my fortune cookie. It says, a financial investment will yield returns beyond your wildest hopes. And I think this is for you. I think this is a message that I got in my cookie for you today. And I think that this investment in the Oregon Opportunity Grant will bring the prosperity to Oregon that we need in the future. And legislature has a prime opportunity to better our state by investing enough funds in the Oregon Opportunity Grant, $12.4 million above the co-chair's budget, in order to make this possible. Also, I'd like to reiterate the Oregon Student Association's, we like that the part-time student money is in the co-chair's budget, and we'd like that to stay as well for other students who can't go full-time. Thank you, and I can answer any questions.
Thank you very much.
If you'd like a copy of the portion, I can give it to you.
Thank you. Next up is Joe Johnson, Nick Freeberg, and Mike Lemke. Joe Johnson, Nick Freeberg, and Mike Lemke.
Okay. Chair Devlin and members of the committee, my name is Joe Johnson. I am with the Office of Rural Health. I'm the recruitment coordinator, and I am here to provide testimony in favor of Senate Bill 5527, which appropriates money from the general fund to OSAC for certain biennial expenses. My role at the Office of Rural Health is to work, one of my roles is to work with OSAC to come up with guidelines, criteria for loan repayment recipients that are physicians, mid-level providers, nurse practitioners, and PAs, and nursing staff that receive loan repayment awards in turn for service in underserved communities. The Office of Rural Health has been charged by statute to help develop criteria to be applied for determining medically underserved communities. And then that is what determines some of the criteria for the award process. In support of this bill, one of the things that we're showing is that in the 1980s is when the loan repayment process has started, and from 1990 to 96, the loan repayments throughout the states more than doubled. In 1996, there were 41 states that had 80-some programs. 10 years later, I can assure you there is significantly more. The thing that these programs have in common is that they provide a mechanism to influence the distribution of health care providers throughout the state, and they compete for increasingly scarce resources, and they are reliant upon state appropriations. As you know, the medical costs, the costs for medical education have soared, and this is a mechanism that allows us to provide some incentive for our providers to stay in Oregon, to practice in our rural communities, and provide health care for underserved populations. Thank you for this time, and if I can answer any questions, please go ahead.
State.
Chair Devlin and members of the committee, my name is Nick Freeberg, and I'm a full-time student at Oregon State University. I was here a few weeks ago in support of a funded tuition freeze, and I come before you today to ask the legislature to fund the opportunity grant for all eligible students. I do not personally receive the opportunity grant, but I hear a lot about it. And in the buzz I hear, and just today I've heard words like financial aid and poverty, need, low income, and most of all, access. I'd like to take a look at why we hear these words and why they come up all the time. First of all, let's think about what I do to get through school. I do three things. I work, borrow, and beg my way through college. I work for my own money, I borrow from the federal government, and I beg from my parents. Now, for students from low-income families, their parents are making just enough to survive, and there is no beg factor. For me, these three things keep each other in check in what I like to call the three-legged stool of access. I've never tried to balance on a two-legged stool, but I bet it's not very easy. With that said, it's obvious why I hear words like need and access around the Oregon Opportunity Grant. It's obviously critical that the Opportunity Grant be there for students who are trying to balance on two-legged stools. This brings me to my main concern. If the purpose of the Opportunity Grant is to make higher education affordable to those who might not otherwise be able to afford it, I think it's failing. It does not fund all eligible students, which means that some of the poorest students in the state may fall through the cracks. The Oregon Opportunity Grant will not help these students earn a degree, which is its purpose. With the rising cost of tuition and living, the poorest Oregon students will soon be denied access to higher education. The way I see it, here's the bottom line. Right now, Oregonians contribute less than the bare minimum to make this program a success. The legislature must at least fund the Opportunity Grant to a point where it can serve all eligible students. If we don't start investing more in our poor students now, they won't be able to invest their hard work in this state later. Thanks for your time, and I can answer any questions.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, I'm Mike Lemke, and I'm an OSU student.
Sorry. Mr. Lemke, please take your time.
It's been 30 years since I was back in college. I'm living off $800 a month. I'm going to school full time. I'm 3% disabled. I've been in the service for 13 years. I got out with frostbite on both feet. I was blind in one eye. I support 12 other people that are trying to borrow money from me, which I go around and try and collect from people. I'm trying to go full time so I can qualify for a job. I've been unemployed for 2 years. Please support the Pell Grant. It's the only form of tuition I get other than the disability from the vets, which is my $800 a month, and $500 of that goes towards medical costs for my wife's high blood pressure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for this panel?
I just comment on this. I like this rural map. I haven't really seen that. And the connection between the health, rural health is...
Thank you very much. Is there anyone left in the audience that would like to testify? We have gone through everyone that has signed up. Yes, please come forward.
Kevin is making me. Chair Devlin and members of the committee, my name is Kyron Pope, and I am the senior, technically, at Oregon State. This is the end of my fourth year, but I will not be graduating this spring because my perfect four-year plan has turned into a five-year and one-term plan. It's kind of a catch-22. I work 30 hours a week, 3 days a week, here in Salem, and I live in Corvallis. I, at the same time, take 14 to 16 credits per term. And the catch-22 I was speaking of is when I fill out my financial aid, the feds must think I'm rich because they don't give me any grants. because I have to work 40 hours a week during the summer and 30 to 35 during the school year in order to pay for my education. My mother is currently unemployed, so it's just my dad, and my sister is also in college, and we still receive, me and my sister, neither one receive any sort of grants. I received actually the Oregon Opportunity Grant my freshman year, and in the amount of $1,254. That helped me considerably. I lived in the dorms, and I had to pay more tuition then because I lived in the dorms. When I graduate, I will have about $30,000 in debt, and that's on the low end. That's my estimate. That's my wish. The majority of that, obviously, is in loans because I obviously don't qualify for the grant anymore. As I said before, when I received the grant, it made me extremely happy. I wasn't working my freshman year because I went to school 16 credits. The Oregon Opportunity Grant has the ability to give some of Oregon's neediest students the gift of education that they might not otherwise receive. A person's lack of resources to pay for college should not be the reason that they cannot attend. As I'm sure all of you know, college is stressful enough without having to worry about how you're going to pay for it or repay your loans. Fully funding the Oregon Opportunity Grant to reach all eligible students and cover their entire costs is a great way for Oregon students to show Oregon students that you care about their education, their future, as well as the future of Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that would wish to testify? Seeing no one else at this point, I will close the hearing on SB 5527. And we will be back tomorrow for consideration in Phase 2 of the Oregon Student Assistance Commission budget, both tomorrow and Thursday at 8 a.m. in the morning tomorrow. If we can stay on schedule tomorrow, there's a good possibility we won't have to start till 8:30 on Thursday. But with that, I will close this committee meeting. And remember, committee members, we will also be doing three licensing boards tomorrow also. So we'll need to have a quorum in both the House and Senate members.